Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Where's the compassion? Right now, thousands of men, women, and children are marching toward America. They're marching from the Guatemalan-Mexican border to the United States. The march will take them 2,000 miles, and they're doing it on foot. They can't afford transportation, and frankly, they can't afford to go alone. They're strength in numbers. If they travel together, they're less likely to be harmed by the violent people who prey on those who are migrating from Central America to the United States. They're marching for all kinds of reasons, mostly because life in their home countries is awful. There's violence in Honduras, in Guatemala, Nicaragua, gangs, dangers. There's also little work, few jobs. They're marching to live the American dream. Now, when conservatives see the thousands of people marching to America, they see a mob. They see a horde of brown people. Donald Trump seems determined to keep them out, and frankly, a lot of Democrats are afraid of the politics of it all, and they're asking to keep them out too. And it may be bad politics. It may be that the American people have no compassion for thousands of people down on their luck looking to live the American dream. I don't see thousands of people mixed with criminals and bad people or whatever false allegations the Trump administration's putting out. I see in their faces the faces of my ancestors, the faces of my great-grandparents who came to America more than 100 years ago. They came on boats. They didn't come by land. They also came escaping oppression. They came to seek a better life for themselves and their families. My great-grandfather was in his village when Cossacks arrived on horses, shooting at all the Jewish people in the village. He lay down and pretended to be dead. And so the story goes, he actually had someone step on him to be sure he was dead as he held his breath. They didn't have enough money to come to the United States. He talked about how he wanted to leave and try America, but he didn't have the money, and his wife, my great-grandmother, said she did. He asked her how she had the money. Women didn't work. Where could she have gotten the money? Well, she was a saver. And of all the money that my great-grandfather gave my great-grandmother to go to the market to buy food, she'd saved a little bit each time, put it under the bed, under the mattress, and her thriftiness gave them a steerage class ticket to America. When he arrived, my great-grandfather in 1906 had $20 net worth. $20 total was his net wealth. All of it, everything he owned, was $20 or less. He went through Ellis Island. He went down to southern Mississippi. He sold women's dresses door to door that he sewed himself. By the time he died, he had a women's dress shop. By the time my grandfather died, he had 6 women's dress shops. I know that your family story isn't that different from mine. The vast, vast majority of Americans are descended from immigrants or slaves. If they came from immigrants, the vast majority of us came from poor immigrants. Heck, even the Puritans on the Mayflower didn't have a lot of money. If they came from slavery, well, their passage was even much, much harder, of course, than my great-grandfather's. Many thousands died in the Middle Passage as men and women were chained together on the horrible ship over. But whether they were forced here or came here, I have long said the only people who have a right to complain about immigrants are Native Americans. They have a right to complain. We don't. Where's the compassion? Maybe you just have to hear their stories, I hope, to have some compassion for them. Saw a clip on CNN recently that illustrates their plight. Let's play it.
A few of the strongest managed to scavenge a ladder and rope and come back to help others down, including a mother named Rosaline. The migrants on the bank of the Suchiate gasp and cheer as she is lowered to the raft. Si se puede, they chant. Yes, we can. After a splash of relief from the heat and the thirst, she looks up anxiously for her babies. A 5-year-old daughter named Candy, a 3-year-old son named Carlitos. It is stunning to see him here, because the day before, I spotted him playing inside the Mexican gate. The little boy was fascinated by the riot gear and helmets, and one member of the Federales displayed touching humanity amid all the chaos. I assumed his family was among the lucky few allowed through for processing, but they were actually separated from Candy in the tear gas panic. So Rosaline went back to find her and another way north.
What made you decide to climb onto that ladder?
To complete the dream that I have.
This bridge, this river, they can't stop me, she says. I am an all-terrain woman.
But there are people who see what just happened and would say you're using your child as a shield to break the law.
I don't think we are abusing the kids, she says. We can't leave them at home. They have to eat. I want them to study, have a good future. I do this for my kids. I ask you with all my heart, wouldn't your mother do the same for you?
Do you know that President Trump is threatening to use soldiers to keep you out? And he has even separated families. He's taken children like these and away from their mother. You know this?
She knows, but says we have faith in God. He has the final word. In town, they are met with cheers from fellow travelers and a bit of Mexican hospitality. There is shelter here, advice from human rights workers, and precious nourishment for the kids. She borrows a phone to call her mom. They're okay, she tells her, and are not turning back. They will rest here for the night, waiting for the caravan's strength in numbers, and are back on the road at dawn. From here, it is a 2,500-mile walk to America.
So I hope you could hear that. Talked about the plight of these migrants. They're walking to America. 2,500 miles. I've talked about my great-grandparents arriving in steerage class, and that wasn't pleasant. But it wasn't a walk of 2,500 miles. Children walking through the desert. Now, conservatives will have you believe that these are a bunch of criminals. They want to come to America to do these awful things. You know, there's lots of criminals in Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Mexico. They don't need to come to the United States to prey on anyone. And if they do, if they're criminals, they probably could afford a bus ticket. They wouldn't have to walk. No, this isn't about criminals. It is about compassion. And it may well be about the color of their skin, which is largely brown. It's hard to teach compassion. I think if you naturally have it, you're probably a progressive already. We progressives, we liberals, are taught to have compassion for others. We're taught to see ourselves in the pain of another. We're taught empathy. I guess I joke that the difference between my name and that of right-wing radio host Mark Levin is that the second E stands for empathy, which he lacks. But empathy is a vital quality, compassion, in a progressive. Conservatives believe in selfishness. And when I say that, I'm not being cute. Paul Ryan famously supports the philosopher Ayn Rand, who talks about the virtue of selfishness. And when she writes about it, she capitalizes the V and the S. She believes that everyone should just get along by themselves. We don't need community. We don't need our village. We don't need other people. Now, I support self-reliance. You shouldn't rely on others when you can help yourself. I get that. But we're all born helpless and alone. The reason we're here is because we had someone care for us. Family members. Someone fed us. Someone held us when we cried. Someone got us through our childhood years. We also die alone. In the meantime, when we can help others, why wouldn't we? Conservatives really just don't see others in themselves. It's interesting, many of the people complaining about immigration say, we have problems in America. What about all the poor white people and the horrible opioid crisis? I say, let's work with them. Let's solve that. Let's help our rural communities. As a delegate in the Virginia House of Delegates, I put forward a bill for broadband access in rural areas to bring the internet to rural Virginia. And they looked at me like I had three heads. Why do you want to do that, Mark? You don't even live in a rural community. I'm like, I know. But my constituents care about your constituents. They didn't get it. It blew their mind. Apparently, compassion for others is so foreign to conservatives that they wanted to know my angle. What was I trying to do? How dare I try to help poor white people? The opioid crisis is a perfect example. Tens of thousands of Americans are dying from this abuse that doesn't come from the Mexican border. It comes from big pharmaceutical companies making a profit off their addiction. And people who use opioids should not be jailed. They should be helped. Just the way those who used crack should not have been jailed. They should have been helped. Addiction is a disease. One that has some moral agency, I'll grant you. But addicts aren't criminals. They're people in need of help. And the Republicans who care so much about the poor white people who are in need of help and are desperately struggling with opioid addiction couldn't give a damn about the African Americans struggling with crack addiction. Now they put all them in prison and now don't want to let them vote because they have prison records. Why can't we have compassion for everyone? White and black, American, and yes, even Guatemalan, even Honduran. That mother's a mother. That boy's a little boy. I don't care whether they came from Norway or Honduras. I know that it's immigrants that make America great. I've seen it not only in my own family, but in everyone I know. In the 99% of us that aren't descended directly from Native Americans, there's an immigrant story. Does any Republican have any compassion at all? 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I'll be right back right after this.
Never confuse Mark Levin with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I may be the only liberal talking about this topic. Conservatives want to talk about the caravan, not liberals. We want to talk about health care and why it is that conservatives want to strip away protections for pre-existing conditions. As you know, nothing conservatives believe more in than making sure that if you can't afford health care in America, just die and move on and clog our emergency rooms. But they don't believe that you have a right to health care. Health care is a privilege, they say. Not dying is a privilege, they say. And you got to pay for that privilege. And if you can't afford health care, you don't deserve to live. That's their moral position. Not very compassionate, but typical. So liberals running for office are talking about the Republican attack on Americans' health care. And we should talk about it. And we are. Republicans also want to cut Social Security and Medicare. Again, even though we paid into the system, they want to make sure that we can't get anything out of it because we need more money for shareholders of multinational corporations. Did you know that a third of Donald Trump's tax cut goes to foreigners? For all these people that say America first and don't let that Honduran person in, why are we giving money to the Saudi royal family? Why are we taxed more so that our money goes to Saudi royal family just because they own some multinational corporation? About 85% goes to the top 1%, but that includes foreigners too. No, conservatives point to the caravan. Hordes of brown people trying to get in America like our ancestors did. And then they complain. Many have complained right here on my Facebook site. We have a Wayne who writes in, liberals cry about Social Security and Medicare cuts, he writes, but welcome illegals here to suck these programs dry. Well, Wayne, did you know that people who are not legal permanent residents or citizens can't get Social Security or Medicare? Do you know that they pay into the system but can't get anything back? They need a Social Security number in order to work, so they make one up. And they put money in the system, but they don't get it back. Illegal aliens, as you call them, undocumented immigrants, as I call them, actually fund Social Security and take nothing back. They're a net plus to the system, and Medicare, too. So not only are you wrong, you're exactly wrong. If all you cared about Social Security and Medicare, you would welcome the undocumented immigrants, because they put money in, they don't put anything back. You go on to write, the Democrats' belief system is just to print more money with no value. You must mean Republicans. Remember, Republicans support massive debt. It is Donald Trump that supports $2.5 trillion in new debt. And I want to know, Wade, why you believe that your tax dollars should go to the Saudi royal family. Why you believe your tax dollars should go to extremely rich people. Why do you think you should work harder to give your money to Donald Trump? Democrats want free public education. Republicans say, we can't afford it. We're giving all this money to Donald Trump, who doesn't pay his taxes anyway. Mark Levine, 888-488-MARK. Right back after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the caravan. I understand most, this is like, I shouldn't even talk about it, because conservatives are like, this is our talking point. Hordes of brown people are marching to America. Yeah, well, they are. There's about 5,000, and they are marching. They are walking. They're walking 2,500 miles more. That's not easy to do. Why not give them a chance? Let me go quickly to Rob in Mesa, Arizona on line one. Rob, I agree with you, but you're a little off topic, so please make your points quickly, and then we'll move on.
Sure. The one topic on the caravan is, you know, you got to look at their two countries and say, how did they get there, and go back to Reaganomics and the whole around Contra, or not the the other.
Well, air interference in Central America has been going on for centuries, and it hasn't been a positive thing. So you're absolutely right.
Right. Right, but the thing off topic real quick is for this election, I think the Democrats just need to get back on the side of the middle class. All their topics are important, but we sometimes lose sight of the big voting block. And two ideas that we could do right away to save Americans 5% on their income right off the bat is right now the Social Security income deducts 6.2% of your paycheck up to $130K. So if you made that unlimited, we can just take the cap off. You could probably raise the same amount of money and lower that deduction down to like a percent. That would get everyone.
I agree with you, Rob. I completely support ending the cap on Social Security. I actually ran on that when I ran for Congress. And I agree with you. It's a great thing for Democrats to run. Absolutely. Go ahead, make your second point.
The second point, real quick, is just about medical expenses. They got to do away with balance forwarding and balance billing.
They call it. Right.
And
that's basically where out-of-network doctors trick people into paying very high health care bills in hospitals. I agree with you, Rob. And just so you know, as a Virginia state delegate, I'm introducing a bill this year on health care transparency that would not only do that, but also require everyone to know how much they're going to pay before they use doctor services or drugs or health care. So I'm working on that. Thanks for your call, Rob. Those are two great topics. I want to scoot it back to the immigration topic, but I really do appreciate your calling in, and please call again sometime. I also want to address the claims by some people who disagree with me on the site. And frankly, if you want to call in, I actually give a preference to people who disagree with me. So feel free to call in. Let me address some of the things that you've written down. Ricardo writes, quote, "We have laws in this country. Go through the proper channels and come legally." Well, if you go through the proper channels and come legally from Mexico, you'll have to put yourself on a waiting list. The waiting list now is about 25 years. You're in your 30s. You've got kids that are 5 and 10 and 15. Put yourself on the list and maybe you'll come here in your 60s when your kids are 30, 35, and 40, if you're lucky. In the meantime, you're going to have to risk death for another 25 years. Our laws aren't working, Ricardo. When my great-grandparents came here, there were no immigration quotas. There were restrictions. At the time, I remember I've seen the Ellis Island Manifest. They asked my great-grandfather if he was an anarchist. He was not. Or a polygamist. That's on there. He was not. And they checked for diseases. In fact, some of his brothers and sisters couldn't get in the United States because they had glaucoma, and they couldn't get in. So there were checks, but they weren't quotas. And Alexander Hamilton was an immigrant who came in without quotas. We are a very large country. We have lots of room. We have room to afford more immigrants. So part of the problem is our laws. The other problem is that Donald Trump isn't following our laws. We have laws on asylum. We have laws on refugees. We have laws to help people escaping persecution. We have laws that should prevent us doing what we did 70 years ago, where a number of Jewish children arriving from Germany tried to get in the United States and were sent back to the gas chambers. We are required by law to check asylum claims. And if you don't like that, then Ricardo, you need to change the laws. Jonathan writes, charity and social justice and compassion aside, which I think is typical from how conservatives begin their argument. Okay, we have no compassion, so let's not talk about that. Okay, fine. I accept that you have no compassion. I always wonder why evangelicals call themselves Christians, given that Christ, Jesus, would never support the cruelty of their behavior. But we'll put compassion aside. Remember, I accept that evangelicals have no respect for Jesus or Christianity or the golden rule or really any compassion for anyone other than themselves. Okay, compassion aside, we'll put that aside. He asks, what are we going to do if we have open borders? If we permit hundreds of thousands to enter? Well, you know what, Jonathan? We have had periods in our history where hundreds of thousands entered. And my guess is, I don't know when your family came. I don't know when they came. 100 years ago or 300 years ago. But we have had large groups of immigrants come. And I dare say they actually make our country better off. I really do. Now, I don't support open borders in the sense of, and we don't have open borders. It's not, in fact, the migrants who are coming in would happily go through an ordinary processing channels if we allow them to do that. And if someone is a criminal, has criminal history, don't bring them in. I'm not talking about that less than 1% have a criminal history. Keep them out. But the 99% that are just trying to have a better life, they make our country stronger, not weaker. And this idea, well, hey, you know, our poor white people can't compete. Those Central American brown people, well, they'll work really hard under the sun for almost no wages. Well, that's true. Why don't we want hardworking people again? Oh, because they outcompete our lazy people. Okay, well, why don't we raise the minimum wage? Why doesn't everyone get a fair wage? If we raise the minimum wage, then everyone who works at an unskilled job, who works 40 hours a week, who works hard, plays by the rules, would have a chance to get out of poverty. I thought conservatives used to support that. We liberals call it the American dream. And I realize the conservatives are all about protecting billionaires. But a whole bunch of working class people voted for Trump. Why don't we raise the minimum wage, have paid family medical leave, have free public universities, have health care for all? Then we can help everybody. And to the person who says, oh, well, then all the illegals will get all our benefits. Actually, they don't. That's not a law Democrats are fighting to change. Let someone work here for a while, become a citizen first. They don't get those benefits. So actually, the people who are here are better off, yeah, than the people that are coming. The other thing Jonathan mentions is that there are people that aren't assimilating. I don't see that. I'd love if you'd call in. I have never met an immigrant that refuses to assimilate. But yeah, no, if an immigrant is a criminal, if an immigrant espouses anti-American values, I'm okay with not bringing them in. I don't want Al-Qaeda supporters here. I don't know any that are going through the desert and marching 2,500 miles. And need I remind you, Jonathan, every single terrorist attack in America, to my knowledge, has occurred by people who didn't come over our land border. On September 11th, the terrorists that murdered 3,000 Americans flew in on planes. And you know what? We don't have walls that go up 40,000 feet around our seashores to keep out airplanes. So the people who are getting here that are terrorists, they're coming by plane. So yeah, we'll check them. We'll check them at ports of entry as we do at airports. I don't want criminals. I don't want violent people. I don't want people who hate America. But they're a tiny, tiny percentage of America, of immigrants. Deport all them. But the mother with the child who's marching 2,500 miles so her kids can have a better life. Have you no compassion? Have you no understanding of American history? We are the country that accepts immigrants. We're the country with the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tire, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. That's Emma Lazarus. If you believe in America for the selfish, if you ask not what you can do for your country, but only what your country can do for you, if you want to say that you don't give a damn about anyone else, all you care about yourself, yeah, we have a difference of values. And to be fair, you really should die alone. Because if you don't give to anyone else, how can you expect anyone to give anything back to you? All right, we got Old Faithful on the line. Michael from the Bronx on line one, if he's still there.
Yes, I am.
Go how ahead, sir.
All right, two things. First thing is that, you know, how should I put this? That, you know, these Republicans do not use the Christian morals and family values argument with a Christian and Catholic as yours truly. If you cannot show any compassion and follow the teachings of Jesus Christ and don't think that you're going to invoke his name to impose your falsehoods, your ways of hate.
Michael, listen, a lot of these people do wear their Christianity on their sleeves. And yeah, the answer exactly. is, if you, I mean, Brett Kavanaugh is a Catholic. Well, but apparently he didn't learn very well because his Pope and Catholicism teaches about caring for the poor and the hungry. The Bible talks all about taking in the stranger, caring for the widow and the orphan. So I don't think he's much of a Christian.
Well, here's a little lesson, Mark. You ready for this?
Yep.
Well, first off, it is written in Scripture, Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus said, be on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, all right? And then add to that, it's a special lesson to these GOPs who want to invoke Jesus' name to falsely justify their most unchristian actions and cruelty. Not everyone, as written in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter into the kingdom of heaven, because in so many words you are being watched, and then you go to Jesus on the last day and expect to be entered into the kingdom of heaven just because you use his name, but you should
I hear you, Michael.
It the wrong way. And Jesus said, I never knew you.
Thanks for your call, Michael. I appreciate it. Let's see if you want to call in. There you go. It's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Feel free to call in, hey, even if you disagree. And I may well call you uncompassionate, but that's the risk you take. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Right back after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. When you see someone in pain, how do you react? When you see a dog in pain, much less a child, how do you react? Is your natural inclination to help that person or to turn the other cheek? Conservatives, it seems to me, put a filter on their compassion. They have compassion, but it's a brown filter. It filters out the brown. They can only see the white. They have compassion for poor working class people, rural people, because those people vote for Republicans, because those people vote against immigration, because those people vote to criminalize abortion. Not, I think, because they really care about those people. And I say that because of the filter. You don't find Democrats who don't care about the white working class. It's Democrats that support unions. It's Democrats that support rehab for opioid. We're not arguing that opioid addicts should be locked up the way Republicans argued for crack addicts. We support rural broadband. We support helping our rural communities. We do care about everyone in need. Conservatives put up the brown filter. They can't see the brown people. And if they do, they see danger. Danger! How is a mother who walks 2,500 miles over the course of several months on blistering feet in inadequate shoes through the desert, carrying two little children? Explain to me again how she's a threat to America. You think she's an Al-Qaeda terrorist? Is that what it is? You think she's smuggling drugs in her 7-year-old's backpack that we can check if we just allow her to go through ports of entry? How is she different from your great-grandmother or your great-great-great-great-great-grandmother or your mother or you? If you come here from Cuba, given that Cuba is a dictatorship, you simply step on the sea, the beach of Florida, and you're an automatic legal permanent resident. You automatically get Social Security and Medicare, by the way, those of you who oppose that. And then you can run for senator. Right, Ted Cruz? Marco Rubio? Yeah, if you're a child of Cuban immigrants, you got it made. What happened to equal protection under the law? Now, Republicans say, but that would be open borders. No, I don't support open borders. Again, keep out criminals. Keep out people who hate America. You know, if you've given long speeches saying death to America, I don't want you here. How many people are we talking about? Very few. Here's the thing. Compassion aside, as the conservative who wrote me said, compassion aside, immigrants help all of us. They build our economy. They work very, very hard at low-level jobs, and then most of them make it to the middle class and work very, very hard hiring Americans. Immigrants contribute to our culture. In America, you can go to the sauna while listening to jazz and eat at a Chinese restaurant afterwards, and then go and enjoy a Puerto Rican food festival. We are the greatest country on earth, in my opinion, precisely because America is not based on an ethnicity. It's not based on a single religion or language or color. We are based on an ideal, and we're the only country in the world like that. We are the world. Americans come from every country on the planet, and we live together. And while we're divided right now, the people that don't want immigrants were also, almost all of them, descended from immigrants. Many of them are of German and Irish heritage. I'm forgetting, I guess, in the mid-1800s, the German and the Irish were kept out by the English. Catholics were kept out by Protestants. Poor people weren't wanted by rich people, except as indentured servants. But come, we did. And I think we immigrants have done pretty well. From Alexander Hamilton today, we have the strongest economy on earth because of immigrants. Because we transform the tired, poor, huddled masses yearning to be free into productive citizens. We profit from immigrants. We profit culturally, we profit financially, we profit economically. And yeah, our hearts grow a couple sizes as well. When you help an immigrant achieve the American dream, they are grateful for all their lives. And they pay it forwards. Compassion is not just the right thing because it feels good. It's actually profitable. And if conservatives don't have a heart, they should at least care about the money. Donald Trump had a tax cut. One-third of the money went out of our country to rich foreigners. They didn't contribute to this country. They didn't do anything for this country. Not like the poor Guatemalan woman walking 2,500 miles with her kids. She might work as a hotel maid, but then her daughter might grow up to be a world-renowned scientist. That's the American dream. And progressives proudly support the American dream. We believe in liberty, justice for all. Open your heart a little, conservatives. See the humanity in people other than yourselves. And you might just find you get to a better place. It's Mark Levine signing off.